Hello, buenas tardes, good afternoon. My name is Gavina Redondo, and like she mentioned, I'm with the City of Richmond, California, and Jason apologized, Professor Jason Corburn apologized that he couldn't be here, but a good thing is he's currently at the World Health Organization working on this topic, which is health and health policy, so it moves our work, our movement forward related to health equity. So in this presentation, we can't separate data with the personal stories or the social and material conditions of the community that we're working with. So I will talk a little bit about the story of Richmond and some of our work that we're doing, and also the role that data has played in our community engagement, but also in our implementation, and also the struggles we've had, because we've always had menus. When you have multiple partnerships, people collect and have different ideologies about data and how that gets filtered through the city, which is another thing that we have to always consider at the top of our head. So I'll begin with a little bit some of our tenets on co-production and health equity, some background, and our ordinance and strategy that we have. So some of the main elements of our work on health equity, for sure, is it started that place does matter. A lot of our works began in neighborhoods that had high health disparities in the Iron Triangle and Belding Woods neighborhood. And also another important part of what has been intersectionality, talking about that when we work with communities that we're serving, there's always different things that people prioritize. However, some of the priorities that the community want to work on first are very important in order to be able to gain momentum. Another thing is that that knowledge is comes from different forms. So some community members might know more about urban agriculture than our planning department. And so how do we be able to integrate those expertises into our work? And another thing is that we can't go away that, especially me as I go into the community representing a system, that we have a history, a legacy of institutionalized racism where the city, the county health department, our universities have promised many things to our communities and have not followed through on many things. So how do I negotiate that to tell them, hey, let's work on this initiative on health and health policies if they have not been served correctly, the reason why we're there before. So how do we do that? And also to be very explicit about it. So the City of Richmond, California is in the San Francisco Bay Area. We're the last BART stop on the Richmond train, maybe like 15 miles north of Berkeley. A big thing about Richmond that we're known for is that our community groups push us. We have a long legacy of environmental justice organizing. We have the Chevron Refinery, the highest emitter of greenhouse gases in the state of California, located in our jurisdiction. So that has caused a lot of attention. And also our council has been very progressive. They've some of the leaders in the first soda tax, banned the box, municipal ID, sanctuary cities, what's it called, eminent domain to take over underwater mortgages. So they've always been, they push us as city staff to push the limit on health. And the good thing is usually our work with health has always been, so far, unanimous, 7-0. And in our council, there's always splits of what priorities are happening. Another thing is to translate public health data into community. We're doing community engagement. This zip code, is more important, sometimes more determined than your genetical, has been really useful for us, being able to show people's neighborhoods like and local cities on life expectancy has been really not just important to residents, but also to city staff. When we look at data and also including community, sometimes in the theories of change and some of the groups that we work with, sometimes they don't see city staff as part of this movement of health equity. There's 700 of us in the Richmond, in Richmond, California, that could be brought on, not diminishing the role of community groups. They've gotten a lot of support and funding to gain their capacity, like, for example, through Building Healthy Communities or Kaiser. However, the city also has 700 people that we could also be able to mobilize in order to work on this. So our trajectory on working on health and wellness to health equity has been long. It's been about 10 years. It started with the change of our general plan. We're one of the first cities to develop a health and wellness element. So it's now in our 30-year initiative of what the city is supposed to be working on. So me as a staff member, that's why I'm here, or that's why I'm in working with schools or with the health department, because it's actually in the fabric, institutionalized as part of our goals that we need to be working on in the city. And also, we've gotten some attention nationally on this work, and usually what we get is, could you give us the ordinance and strategy document that you guys are working on? And for us, we want to say that was the end. That was the end goal. It started with the relationship building, the priorities, and then our strategy and ordinance actually came at the end. So there's a lot of engagement that has to happen before we have an explicit health and op policy strategy in the community. Of course, another big thing that we learned with this is learning by doing. So my first relationships with our health department was actually at school sites. We chose school sites. And for me, just to talk to our Safe Routes to School coordinators of the health department, we're not talking to our Safe Routes to School engineers in our city. That's really important, right? Somebody's making the built environment improvements. The other people are doing the education part. And when we decided to just focus on one school site, we're able to see the different intersectionalities between all these different systems. So now I could be able to call the health department and we could write grants together or organize community meetings together in order to move things forward. And also say the three main systems in our city, the school district, the health department, the city, CBOs. How many meetings is that for the same resident that we're serving, right? That was usually like 5 or 6 meetings, right, that we would ask, we're serving the same resident. Why can't we just have one meeting to be able to move this forward? Of course, that's what I mentioned a lot about our partnerships. Another form of getting data that we thought important in translating public health research has been our toxic stressors or social stressors amongst the body. When I walk into the room and I said, is anybody stressed? Raise up your hand, right? Boom, right? And also people get to talk about different things and push the concepts of health like to other things. Like I feel stressed because I'm undocumented and I can't drive. And also I'm facing challenges to help, and facing challenges to get health care. And so all these things get put in these, we get these skeleton posters. We have about 200. We've done over 30 meetings. And then we're able to code it after about what are the priorities. And this is a different way than just doing traditional surveys or phone interviews, actually going to different community meetings and saying, who is not in the room? And then keep on doing that over and over. And then, so if the youth were not in the room, then I need to find where is the youth being served, then go to that meeting and keep on doing a snowball effect to be able to get priorities from different community members. So all this community work has translated into our health and health policy strategy and ordinance. We have 6 different sections, and also the ordinance part is that now it's part of our municipal code. These definitions on health equity are in our law now at the City of Richmond, and it also talks about annual reporting that we have to do. So our first annual report will hopefully come out in a month of how we're moving forward, but that's actually now a mandate that we have to do as city staff in order to inform the community. And also we could also change it too. We also have discussions on how it could be changed depending on different priorities. For example, as we were organizing, the Affordable Care Act gets implemented doing this work, so there might be other opportunities and priorities that we could focus there on. So again, our HIP strategy, the first box there shows what action we're going to do. The second is a measure. The third is a health equity statement. And that's something new for our city, looking at our general plan. What does that policy, how is that going to impact health equity? Having a health equity measure has been interesting to be able to explain to other city staff and community members who might not be, like, you might be just into urban agriculture, but we also have something on violence prevention. And then you could kind of read on how to make that link between what you're working on. And another one that I like is department responsible, right? As a city, right, you could actually, if you want to get involved or you have a complaint that is not moving forward, you know, there's a department you could go to. Internally, we want to also create the staff person that's responsible for it. And usually when plans are created, the person responsible is the city or the school district, right? So, and I don't know, I've tried to call county health departments sometimes, and I don't even, it serves, you know, over 10 cities or 8 cities. So, like, you know, how do we be able to get engaged with this work is difficult to be able to do, but department responsible, and then the desired outcome of the goal of the measurement, up or down, or whatever distance we have. So, in the first section of our strategy is governance and leadership, and so we can't start without this, without the system making a change. So in these measurements, we have basically how many times does our health and all policies department interdepartmental team meet. And these are just measures of counts of what we're doing in the community, but also showing it visually and also doing reports in our website and social media about how we're moving forward. Another thing is on the top right corner, that's our city manager, Bill Lindsay, also reporting the same thing we do with the community, we have to also do with city staff. So we have health equity trainings in the community, we also have to do it within the public works department or code enforcement, so they could also be allies to this work. Another place that data has been really important has been for community policing and our Office of Neighborhood Safety. And this is one of them that I wasn't too familiar with, but our Office of Neighborhood Safety has also gotten a lot of attention, because what the director saw was that we used to have one of the highest homicide rates in the United States. I think we had about 60 homicides. And when he had conversations with the police, they're like, instead of focusing like a whole citywide strategy, they asked, how many people do you think are causing all these problems or challenges? And the police department said 34 people. So instead of our police has talked about other strategies that where police become, you know, let's get more guns or become more of an occupying force, basically become another gang, you know, with guns and stuff. How could we just focus on those 34 people, offer them services? And that's been the Office of Neighborhood Safety, and they've had a lot of success being able to bring in, out of those 34, 20 in that are former shooters or have gotten shot. And also being able to show data like, 97% of the participants are still alive today. 76% have also not reoffended for a gun crime. And it's funny, I've never even heard of that data, like, are still alive. To show the importance, like, I never, you know, thought about that. I take for granted that you know, that's what some of our residents are dealing with. In our environmental and health section, another area where I think we also need a lot of support is our community air monitoring system. So community wanted to be able to show data on their health impacts and also the effects of refineries and other industries in our area. So we were able to create fence line monitoring at the Chevron refinery, and the community picked three air monitoring sites where they wanted to have these systems to be able to take grab samples and monitor over 30 compounds live. And so right now, we're able to do that and implement it now. The cool thing is that we could actually trigger it. The city doesn't have to be Chevron or the fire department or anybody, because when we had the last explosion 2 years ago, our air monitoring district has an air monitor, but it only goes off at certain, like every 2 weeks or every week at a certain time. But when an episode happens, right, how are you going to be able to get that data to be able to talk about what is impacting our community, right? So now being able to put that's another layer that we have to be able to improve that. But another thing that the community was happy we did that, but now they're coming back and saying, okay, now you have all this data, and now we don't know like the intersection between cumulative impacts or CO2 versus PM2.5 and how does that impact our health. So right now, that's another big project to be able to delve into that with community members to be able to figure out what the story is in all these different monitoring sites. Another way we're going to be, this is also a work in progress, is a spider diagram of showing also how many different social determinants and different actions impact health, and kind of moving away from, say we have high asthma, we do have high asthma child rates, asthma rates for children are very high in the city of Richmond. But instead of just focusing on one health outcome, like everybody's going to focus on asthma, you know, you cannot focus on asthma without focusing on, you know, making a better street or making better parks so people could exercise, or making access to healthy food. So right here we have different things that we think impact health. And in this spider diagram, we want it to be green, right? We're working towards it. And the bottom circles, the open one is the California standard, and the other ones are a county standard. And basically, there's things that we want to go towards 100%, and there's things that we want to go to 0%. And then the green area is basically our current condition. And here you can see some of it, we do not have data for it, but this is kind of our first attempt to be able to explain all these different determinants that impact one community. And we also have a city survey that gets done every 2 years. And this is something that we already had in the city. And this is another thing about looking at existing ways you collect data. Sometimes health data is not seen something that the city collects. Like the city collects, our code enforcement collects data, our public works collects data, how many people go to the recreation center and go to the swim center and take Zumba classes. And we have all this data that is coming in, but how are we able to translate it and be able to inform our work? One of them has been our community survey, and this is done by the National City Clearinghouse that monitors it, and now we've been able to add health-related questions. And basically, our work could be found at www.richmondhealth.org. And hopefully, we'll have the data report next month. And thank you for your time.